From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one, Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome to Conversations with David, Ike, one of my favorite people on the planet. Good morning, David.
Hello, Maria.
David, I got to tell you, I watched you in Wembley, and you blew me away. I was so excited. That last hour was so fantastic. Your spirituality was busting out all over the stage. People just went crazy over your singing, your dancing, and meditation. It was amazing, David. It was probably the best roundup you've ever done at the end of your performance, and I just sat here stunned.
Well, I had a ball, and it was one of those days that where there was no time. I spoke for the best part of 10 hours, and the event was about 12. And it just went. And everything that could go right went right in every single way. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But the greatest thing about it was the energy. You know, people talk about energy and how you can impact upon energy by your thoughts and your emotions and your state of being. But my goodness me, when you get, 6,000 people virtually together with open minds, that's an energy in itself, open hearts, and even more magnificent, and they come together as it did, because the energy was building all day. But in that last hour, it just absolutely was stunning to be in amongst, and it was like the world was dancing, literally dancing. Yes, we did a bit of that, but I mean the reality was dancing, the energy was dancing. It was just extraordinary, and people have contacted me and contacted other people since and said, look, they had healings, their whole optimism of life has suddenly changed. And that's what happens when you're in an energy field that incredibly powerful and vibrationally high. But also, when we look at the figures for the streaming, and when you think that I know at least one person who had 13 people around the screen all day in South Africa, and you look at the figures and you look at then all the other people that would have been with those people,
right?
You know, and you're talking 20,000, maybe more, watching that, and therefore giving their energy and focus and attention to it, thus creating that connection to, although they weren't what we call physically there, they were energetically there, and all that was going in the mix, and all the different energies from around the world were going in there. There was, if you could have seen it on another level, if you could have seen it on an energetic level with, sixth sense sight, you would have seen just an explosion of dancing color and vibrance in that place. And and of course, London is one of the centers, perhaps the center, in so many ways, of the energy grid, because so many of these major lines pass through there, and indeed pass through that very building and that area, going off to places like Stonehenge and stuff. So they, you know that they're on powerful energy lines. And all that was going in. And it's funny because there was this kind of energetic lockdown in Britain through the summer. I mean, we talked about it in some of our chats, and I've written about it. And it started with the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and all the rituals that went with that. And almost immediately afterwards, we had the great satanic ritual that was the Olympic ceremonies and what have you. And it was like, energetically, that London and Britain was locked down energetically, and I was looking at people and talking to people and observing them, and it was like, in terms of awakening to the greater picture, it was like there'd been a regression back. Mm-hmm. And it was like, crikey, you know, what's happening here? I had no idea what was happening. But since Wembley, that great explosion of energy, and, you know, you've only got to look at the massive spike that was recorded in the Earth's magnetic field at the time that 9/11 happened to see the impact upon the energy field of human attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it just spiked at that point, because all that focus of attention was having an impact upon the field. Well, you can do that by reacting to some horror like 9/11, but you can also do it in another way,
with a positive
heart opening gathering. And this is why I say, look, we should be having these gatherings all over the world and people just dancing and all that stuff, and instead of, you know, all the protest with abuse and all that stuff, well, just let's just dance. I mean, and just sit quietly and focus heart energy, because you're still at the place, you're still not moving,
right?
But you're still therefore making your voice known, but you're doing it in another way, a much more positive way. It's like I say, don't be anti something, be pro something else.
Right.
And so when these gatherings happen, they have a massive impact upon the Earth's energy field in general, and that's what was happening at Wembley. And like I say, since then, there has been this series of events, one after the other, which is exposing the system, the establishment. It's to do with paedophilia, it's to do with corruption, and it's suddenly people's minds. I've seen it from the response to my stuff about this,
right,
from people who were not into this before. It's like, whoa, people are just opening their minds even more now to see it. What's going on in Britain and how the establishment is corrupt and well, evil, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, no other word for it. And so it's been fascinating to watch the energetic change in Britain after that event. And people say, well, that's far-fetched. Well, it's not.
No, of course not.
That power of that power of heart energy, 6,000 people in one place,
right,
20,000 and more focusing in from around the world on that one spot, that's going to have such an incredible impact on the vibrational field. And for me, what happened, if I'm looking from an energetic level, is that a big, massive hole was punched in that lockdown energy that had been put into London during the summer, which really did clearly show itself in people's behavior and attitude to things beyond the norm, and it's reversed massively.
Right.
And these people are on the run at the moment. You know, I mean, you know, they must have a doll out and sticking pins in it or something. You know, but I haven't felt anything yet.
Well, I think you're going to be fine. You know, I learned a long time ago that there's power in numbers. And I remember reading, quite a few years ago, where 100 monks decided to get together and meditate for peace. I forget what state it was. I'd like to say it was outside Washington, D.C. But what they noticed in the 3 days that the monks were meditating on peace, the crime rates went down.
Right.
So, you know, where you put your attention, you know, they say, you know, I guess, you know, where your attention goes, energy flows. And, you know, being where you were in basically, let's face it, David, the belly of the beast.
Right.
And here you are, you know, countering all that negative energy by opening up a heart space in the middle of it. You know, watching it, you know, from my perspective, you know, what I saw, you know, I saw the magic. You know, I saw what you're talking about. I could feel it. A lot of my listeners said they were home dancing along with you. And I noticed that you were lifted in a way, even at the end where I would assume you should be exhausted, you were lifted in a way that it was very apparent to me that, you know, spirit, whatever you want to call it, had just, you had just filled the entire space with it. It was almost as though you were on automatic pilot.
Well, it kind of felt like that. You know, there were times when the conscious part of me, especially in the last section, the conscious part of me was almost observing that part of me that was delivering it.
I understand that. I've had that happen to me many times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you this. I was 60 this year in April. I've been doing these all-day talks for the best part of 20 years, I suppose, certainly 15 or so. So I've been doing them since I was, 45? And in all the time I've done them, I have never done one as physically easy as that one. What normally happens is by the third section, just over halfway through, I'm starting to feel muscular fatigue in the hips and in the legs, I'm starting to get a little bit weary here and there, afterwards, everything kind of, you know, because I've had rheumatoid arthritis most of my life, and afterwards, I really feel it. You know, if I go in the dressing room afterwards and sit down, but when I get up very, very slowly because everything won't move.
Right.
And the next morning I get up and it's I'm walking very gingerly because everything is aching, joints, muscles, everything. All the way through Wembley, I felt nothing. I felt no fatigue, no fatigue at any level of me, no fatigue at all day in the muscles. Afterwards, it was like I hadn't done it, and I, you know, in terms of my body, and then the next day I woke up, and it was like I hadn't done it.
Right. Well, you know, I like to call that, you know, you were carried by spirit, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, may sound kind of strange, but, you know, some things happened to me recently as well, and certainly something happened to me at Wembley. And it's almost like I am, in a funny sort of way, age reversing. I can feel it, you know.
Right.
It's like every part of me, including my mind, is feeling younger. And it's an amazing feeling. It is like going back through the years rather than going forward. Of course, there is no time. Well,
right.
Why can't you do either, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I also believe you've shaken off so many negatives, not just people and places in your life, but negative attacks, et cetera, where you roll with it so well now that once it doesn't bother you anymore, it's like your vibration shifted and you're above it all.
Yeah,
and you almost look like you were floating on that stage.
Yeah, that's how it feels. And it's funny because I think we've talked before about some of these electromagnetic bombardments I get in my bedroom at night. I haven't had them for a while. And then I've been putting some real big stuff out on the internet in the last week or so about paedophilia in politics and the royals. This is not an exaggeration. It has the potential to bring down the British establishment.
That'd be
not
great.
Not just one party either, and certainly has the potential to bring down the monarchy. But anyway, I I was in bed two nights ago, and I woke up, and the place, the room was full of electromagnetic kind of spider-like vibrating metallic things, the reason I woke up is they were buzzing. They were going zzz, zzz. And I woke up. It was so loud. I thought, what's that buzzing? And it was these things, you know. And I sat there in bed, hilarious, really. And they didn't. They manifested and they demanifested, but they didn't manifest like in total in an instant. It was like they were coming out of something, like out of the unseen. So you'd see the front of them, then you'd see more of them, and then eventually the whole thing would appear. Right. But it was coming out of, you know, obviously some other kind of reality. And I just sat there and laughed at them, you know, and went back to sleep. You know, I don't know what do you think they're doing? I mean, don't be stupid. I mean, that's going to make you joking, you know.
Right.
And since I've been doing this stuff, we've had massive attacks at davidicke.com, cyber attacks, which have taken down the site one or two times. We're now going to spend a lot of money to upgrade it, so it's very much more difficult to do that. But, you know, it's like, okay, so you attack it, and it goes down, and all these engineers have been working on it many times and dead of night often. And then it comes up, okay? And when it comes back up, the same information is going to be there.
Right, okay? Exactly.
So what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost desperation. And I tell you what I have felt since Wembley, Maria, is a momentum for this awakening, a real momentum. I feel it, this energetic momentum that people are opening and opening and opening. And people are coming to my site now, I know from friends and acquaintances who told me, every day, who would have laughed in my face a very short time ago. So
it's starting
to move, and the visit numbers of the website are exploding. It's one it went down at one point because there was just too many people.
Right.
There is this momentum now. It's like riding surfing a wave of transformation. It's so exciting. I can't tell you. And it's, you know, what we've been working towards all these years.
Right. Well, I guess people are ready for it now that, you know, now that you've been proven, you know, for what, 20, 30 years on what you've been saying, you know, that's the way it happens. You know, years ago, people called me all kinds of names, basically a whack job conspiracy freak. And today, those same people call me a genius. And it's just a matter of them realizing sometimes there are people here who see things they don't and are ahead of their time. And that we don't do for physical reward. We do it for a higher calling. Because surely there are easier things to do than what you and I do.
Absolutely. But, you know, when you start to realize quite early in the journey what's happening in the world and where the agenda wants to take the world and the kind of world that our children and grandchildren will live in, indeed, we are already increasingly living in. And then you go deeper and you see the world that so many children already live in.
Right.
In the pedophile rings and satanic rings, which are fundamentally connected for reasons that can be easily explained. Then not doing it, walking away from it, it's just not an option. I mean, how can anyone with any heart whatsoever walk away because it's easier?
Well, they do it.
The realization of what's happening. You can't. But, you know, people who are me, and their hearts are closed, and they can't find that empathetic connection to those that are suffering, and empathetic connection to those that will have to live in the world that they want to bring in, well, they can walk away. But I can't, and
no,
I never will.
It's not in your nature. It's not in mine. It's not in mine either. It's like we can bitch and moan all we want, but the next day we get up and get back to work. It's just the way we're made. You know, we're here for a special purpose. You know, we're here to awaken people. And whether they awaken or not is their personal choice. David, before the show, I had gotten a note from one of my listeners who obviously attended your event. And he said that you were talking about a black and white chessboard as symbolism. And he wanted to know if you could give just a little more description of that.
Well, you know, when you look at the yin and yang symbols and all that stuff, mm-hmm. they're all the same. They're black and white. And I was talking about the fact that part of this symbolism relates to Saturn symbolism, which of course I went into massively in the Wembley event.
Right.
And you know, it's the black end of the energy, if you like, the absence of light, which is what basically black is, mm-hmm. Which is the energy that they work with. And you know, there'll be a lot more to know about all that, but that's the foundation of it. This is why satanic colors are black and red. Red is the low vibration, and black is the absence of light. This is why when you look at rituals, royal rituals called royal protocol or royal ceremony in Britain, the colors are dominated by black and red. It's all energetic. And
right, and now we have the biggest Saturn evil symbolism happening next month with Saturnalia, or as people call it, Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that is quite blatant, that what we call Christmas is actually just what they called in Rome Saturnalia, which was the ritual celebrating their god Saturn. And they had decorated trees, they had sprigs of holly, they exchanged gifts. It's the whole same system, just moved into under another name.
Right.
Something, you know, it's like taking Satanism in its full-blown state, which is not obviously not acceptable in the public arena.
Right.
And then producing a public arena okay version of it called the Eucharist, where you drink the blood as wine and you eat the flesh as some biscuit or something. It's just the same basic thing. You take the symbols of Christmas and again, you know, you focus on symbols, then where energy goes, your attention goes, energy goes, energy flows. And so you have Santa, who is a red, and Santa has a white beard. And the white-bearded man is an old symbol of Saturn, which is why you have the white-bearded Kronos, the Greek god of Saturn. And you have, you know, Santa, which is an anagram of Satan.
Right.
You know, it's all embedded in the whole fabric. And, you know, as I kind of explained at Wembley, people who've studied anything about this will come across eventually the fact that there are certain symbols everywhere, mm-hmm. who recur and recur and recur, that are
right.
used by secret societies, they're used in religion, they're used by Satanism, they're used in advertising, in logos, and they can be found through thousands of years, repeating and recurring in different cultures around the world. And so the fact that there is some kind of language of symbolism is obvious once you get into it. But, you know, most people think, well, it's just a symbol. It's just saying, you
right.
know, this is us.
Exactly.
But it is a language, and it's a language that's more important in so many ways than the voice to ear, for this reason. What symbols are information fields, and what words are information fields, vibrating mm-hmm. information fields. So when I'm talking now, my vocal cords are vibrating in a certain way that is delivering a certain energy that we call words. And if I change my attitudes or I change my language and the intent behind the language, then I will change the energy field, the vibrational field that I am projecting. But because I'm speaking, the receiver is picking that vibrational field up with the ear, and that turns into an electrical signal which goes to the brain, and the brain decodes it mm-hmm. and hears. So when I'm speaking, this is voice to ear, the usual way of communicating, then at least you can know that you're hearing something. In other words, it's not subliminal, it's available to the conscious mind. Mm-hmm. But symbols are also information fields, vibrating information fields, if you go beyond the holographic level of the so-called physical. And they do not talk to us in a language that we can hear. They talk to us through the eyes. And the information field from the symbol is decoded by the eyes into an electrical signal, which is transported to the brain that decodes it. The difference is that's not available to the conscious mind.
Right.
It's all happening in the subconscious, in the subliminal realms. So the reason that for thousands of years, and certainly massively today, they use symbols all around us is because those symbols are speaking subliminally. The information field that they are, in fact, are speaking to people subliminally through the eyes-brain connection, and they're affecting people's perceptions, their thoughts, their ways of seeing things, and all the rest of it, without anyone knowing it. It's not like voice to ear, where somebody might be trying to persuade someone to believe something. At least the person can hear that and say, "No, I reject it."
Right.
But when it's going in through the language of symbols, you don't have that choice because you don't know it's going in. But the great thing about knowledge is that like knowledge of what I've just said is that and many other things is that it's alerting the conscious mind to that happening,
right? Pay
and
attention.
The conscious mind, although we may not even realize it, will then start to put barriers up because it's aware that it's going on. It will be aware that symbols are doing this. And it's fascinating when you take a picture which is full of subliminal things which people can't see, and they can't see them, and they say, "Oh, I can't see anything." And then you point them out. And what you're doing is you're bringing to the conscious mind subconscious symbols.
Right.
And from that moment on, I know it's happened to me, it happens to me all the time when this happens, but it happens to everybody. From that moment on, whenever you see that picture again, the subliminals are the first thing you see.
Absolutely.
They're so blatant.
Yeah, it's like chemtrails. You know, once you point somebody up to the sky and they see them, then they see them all the time.
Again, that's a very good example of subliminal, the chemtrails, where people don't look around and all the rest of it.
Exactly. I mean, I have a young student up here now, you know, who never noticed them before till I showed it to her, and now she'll call me every other day and say, "Did you see the chemtrails this spring today?" So, you know, it's like they don't see it until you show it to them, and then, of course, they're going to see it after that.
Yeah, and it becomes obvious then.
Absolutely.
And this whole arena of uncovering what is happening, because when you look at it, although it's becoming more and more blatant now as it's impacting on people's lives more obviously, but overall, and certainly up to quite recently, this whole conspiracy agenda has been in the subliminal.
Absolutely.
That's why I say, you know, if you're focused on a dot in your life, if it's just your family or just your sports team or just your career,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have this peripheral vision, which is where it's all going on. And what is happening by this information about the agenda and all of it and reality being brought to the public attention,
mm-hmm.
is it's having the same effect as pointing out the subliminals in a picture, and suddenly you see them. This is why once you get the basics of what the game is, then people, their lives change completely. Their view of life changes, and every time they watch the news, they don't see it like before, because they're now consciously aware of the subliminal agenda. And this is the worst nightmare of these people.
Well, what I found really...
the subliminal will become conscious.
What I found really great, and I said, wow, I guess all of our work all these years has paid off, was between the Olympics and Super Bowl here in the United States, how aware everyone was of the satanic symbols at both events.
Yeah.
And how fast they started, you know, tweeting that, putting it up on Facebook. So people are becoming more aware. And, you know, the analogy of, you know, looking at chemtrails and then seeing them is similar to, you know, how people finally, I guess, after all these years of us busting our backs to try to get people to wake up, are paying off. So that's a really good thing.
Yeah, and again, because people are seeing the symbols aren't talking to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is the great thing.
Right. Because
once you are consciously aware of them, they don't speak to you subconsciously anymore. And that's
it's like your little friends.
A dilution of their power when that happens.
It's like your little friends coming through the dimensions in your bedroom. You know, I've had oddities like that happen. I'm not as nice as you, and I am from Brooklyn. So I usually just look at them and tell them to get the F out. I just say, get the F out of here. You're not welcome, whatever the hell they are. But you know, once you see them, you know, then it's like, okay. Because a lot of people will say, David, you know, well, you know, I don't see UFOs. I don't see, you know, reptilians. I don't see this and that. What they don't understand is, you're not going to see it until you're ready to see it. And if you're not vibrating at the right dimensional vibration, if you're stuck in this low, dead, negative energy field in your false reality,
yeah,
you can't see past that.
Yeah, and it's just kind of takes you aback when you find people, some of them in the public eye, who will dismiss something because they've never seen it.
Right, but everybody knows the story here in America that when the big ships first came to America, the Native Americans didn't see them because they didn't exist in their reality.
Yes, and, you know, it does take arrogance to and ignorance to far levels when someone thinks that
they,
out of 7 billion people, they are the arbiters of whether something exists or not on the basis of whether they've seen it.
Right. Well, a lot of
that
times I think...
shocking.
Yeah. A lot of times, David, I think that's fear more than anything else. I think it's the fear of that person. They're afraid to see it. They're afraid to acknowledge it because, ooh, God forbid, they might have to do something about it. David, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. And when we get back, of course, we'll continue this conversation. So stay with us. David and I will be right back.
Hi, folks. This is John Neems in Las Vegas saying to you to get with the program and subscribe to Maria.net today. She has the best truth out there. And if Lennon were here, he'd tell you to do the same.
If Lennon were here, he'd see things so clear. He'd know what to do.
And Maria knows what to do.
And he'd inspire
And she inspires you,
you
too.
He'd see through their lies.
How many lies do we have, huh?
That terror
so
disguise.
Subscribe today to Maria.net.
He'd know what is hoax.
And she'll tell you what the hoaxes are.
He'd know how to coax you. If Lennon were here, he'd leave with no fear. He'd know that Iraq is just another Vietnam. He'd be at his best, singing songs of protest. He'd know who really brought the towers down.
Subscribe today now.
Imagine
Maria.
Imagine
Maria.net. Thank you.
Okay, welcome back to Conversations with David, my excellent co-host and friend, David Icke. Seeing is believing, but you know what? A lot of times I tell people, David, you won't see it unless you're really open to see it. And people really don't get that. And you know, I can see the difference in vibrations of people when I just walk about, you know, just go out and walk about. And a good example was I was with one of my friends shopping this weekend in a very crowded store. And she was getting all upset and bent out of shape over everybody's rude behavior, you know, pushing, shoving, et cetera, et cetera. But the difference between she and I, when we got in the car, she was all complaining about it. And I just looked at her and said, what? Because I couldn't even describe one person in that store if I had to. I didn't see any of them. My vibration is so different. I didn't see them. I didn't feel them. I don't even allow that in my space. So I tried to explain to her, if you're going to be bothered by it and you're going to pay that much attention where you have these low energy people sucking on your energy field, yeah, you're going to be in a bad mood. You need to learn how to separate yourself from that.
I have people many times come to me over the years and now, and they say, I said hello to you the other day, and you walked straight past me in the street. Didn't even acknowledge me.
Right.
And I'm like, I never saw you.
I know that feeling.
I'm somewhere else most of the time.
I always laugh when people say stuff like that. I laugh at myself because I'm not aware that that happens. It just is.
Yeah. And I have people with me, and they've said, well, did you notice that? You notice that? I didn't notice any of it.
Because I'm like, who? What?
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that people do, and, you know, we all get pulled into it, is focusing on things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. Or so-and-so said this about me. Well, what's that matter? Or so-and-so did this. Well, what's that matter? I mean, in the great scheme of things, it's irrelevant.
Right.
And while we're constantly being pulled into, here we go again, a focus of attention upon all these different irrelevant things that happen all day, instead of floating through them, then that's where our attention is. And our attention is therefore pulled constantly into the very low five sense vibrational level of reality. You know, oh, she said this, oh, there, 5 cents. Oh, yeah, this happened, oh, 5 cents. And it's like at the end of the day, never mind at the end of your life,
right,
or at the end of the week, at the end of the day, how much of what wound you up all day or took your attention, how much does it actually matter now? Even at the end of the day,
exactly,
just having a cup of tea, what does it matter? Well, not really.
Exactly.
Why has it been mattering? Bang, 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 all day. Mm-hmm. You know, getting a priority of what matters and what doesn't is really important, because it saves you this constant emotional up and down. You know, highs and lows all the time, lurching from one to the other. You know, and if you can find some kind of equilibrium, you know, there are things that, you know, are worthy of attention. Absolutely there are.
Right, but
there's so much that takes our attention.
Exactly.
It's not worthy of our time or attention at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the system's trying to do. It wants us in five-sense attention, and thus it constantly bombards the five senses with reasons to give its attention away.
Right.
Look at this, taste this, hear this. It's all constantly, look at this. It's all constantly being given to us to take our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a step back and you, instead of, you know, focusing, you know, on a tiny little dot, you see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might have to focus in on a dot here and there as you go through your life and
do
your job or whatever. But as you're dealing with the dot, maybe your job or whatever, you're also aware of all the other dots, and that it is only a dot within a great tapestry. And then when you've done that, you can move your attention back to the tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
And from the tapestry, connecting, everything's connected level.
Right.
It's you see everything totally differently. So that,
right,
you know, what matters to the, you know, five sense attention level does not matter at all. And I don't know if you saw this. I think it's in the New York Times bestseller list now. In fact, I think it might be top. This doctor, who he was a brain surgeon, I think, and he, in effect, died for 7 days,
right,
and then came back. And he went into his coma through meningitis when he should have died, and his brain should have, if he ever came back, he should have been in a vegetable state. But he came back perfectly normal, and he came back a different man, because what went into the coma was an absolute solid or being brought up by his father to be like this from when he was a kid, system science doctor. And of course, he experienced other realms of reality when...
Right. I've been reading his story. I haven't read the book, but I have been following his story.
I just got the book delivered today because it fascinates me.
Right.
Because I've been writing and talking for years that reality is on the basis of infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. And what he's describing is this very dense mud treacly like vibration in effect. Which is really close to the reality that we are dealing with, and then he moved out through another reality which was, it had form, but it wasn't like physical form that we would perceive as physical. But people looked like people, and there were butterflies and plants and vegetation, but it wasn't the same. In other words, he's on another a very much higher vibration, but it's still a form. And then he talks about what's happening. The true him, which is a point of attention within infinite consciousness, was then moved or taken into what he called it the core. And this was a place of basically what I talked about in a Wembley event and in the books. I call it the still and silent all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is, in fact, all possibility waiting to manifest. And the worlds of form are the imagination, if you like, of that still and silent all that is, all possibility, infinite everything. And he talks about how what a beautiful state it was to be in. And also that once you get out of this, basically the reality that we're experiencing, mm-hmm. then there's virtually no what he called evil. It's just love, and there's no judgment, and there's all this stuff. And it's clear that, you know, from what I was reading of his stuff, that it kind of syncs with what I've been saying over the years, that mm-hmm. once you get out of this reality... infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. And the reason there's so much quote evil within our reality is for reasons of the fact that it's been hijacked.
Right.
And you know, he said there is a he felt there was a hell, in the sense that the place he first went to was this dark, deeply unpleasant kind of treacly mud-like existence, and then he was taken out of that into something that was very, very different. But that I think is an arena or a realm, a vibrational realm, where a lot of people who are in low vibrational states, when they leave this reality of what we call death, in other words, when they
create their next level of
they get trapped there.
Absolutely.
And this is why it's so important to have an open heart and an open mind when you leave this reality, because that'll take you to a vibrational level that syncs with your vibrational level.
Absolutely,
it's real simple. It's just like radio stations. You know, if you're on a certain frequency, you get a certain station, and if you're on a very low vibrational frequency, you're going to get a very low vibrational station.
Exactly. That's why
and
I constantly
vice versa, you know.
Right. I constantly tell people the only ticket out of here is a spiritual one.
Yep.
And when you start really getting in balance, one foot here and one foot in, you know, in your spiritual world and your oversoul, your the rest of you, it's very easy to walk around on this planet and not be affected by the crazy people or the politics or the news or whatever, because you're seeing with new eyes. You know, Native Americans would say, you know, you need to transform into the hawk and fly above the situation and see the whole picture.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you can see the horrors that go on in the world, and you can challenge the horrors and expose the horrors without getting pulled vibrationally into that.
Absolutely.
By keeping your heart open. I mean, I look at these people who are doing these things to kids, who are manufacturing wars and famine and all this stuff. And I want to expose them, and I do expose them, because I want people to know what's going on. But I have no hatred for them at all.
No, what's
you know,
the point?
I get frustrated sometimes, but I have no hatred for them. I don't wish them any harm, any of it. I just want it to stop. And that needs to be done through the people being aware of what's happening. You can't stop something you don't know is happening.
Absolutely.
So you can... do this, and you can be aware of it, you can research it without getting pulled in. And I've, you know, been on that journey, because when I started out, it's very easy to get pulled into the frustration and the horrors of it. But, you know, it's like it's a version of, you know, don't get mad, get even. Mm-hmm. In this sense, you know, don't get pulled in to that level of vibration. Just expose it and you know, make it end. But it's not the same as getting pulled in.
Right.
And I do understand completely, because I've been there a
right.
time ago.
The human part is a very hard part to contend with while you're on
this
planet.
I was just going to say, but you know, I do see conspiracy researchers who do get pulled into it. And they do in some ways become a mirror of what they're exposing. I see them taking it on and getting pulled into it. And that's not good, because if you get pulled into it, first of all, you know, what you get pulled into, you can become.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me smile when I see conspiracy researchers saying, open your mind and wake up and don't just, you know, follow the system and believe what you're told. But they are talking about government conspiracies, war conspiracies, false flag conspiracies.
Well, they're afraid to go to
the next level. With people who are who've gone beyond that,
right.
and are saying, yes, all that exists, of course, but it's part of a much greater conspiracy. Those conspiracy researchers that are saying, open your mind, wake up, don't be a sheeple, don't do what everyone tells you, or don't think what everyone tells you to think, they then attack
right.
and dismiss other conspiracy researchers who are looking at the bigger picture of it in the same way as the people they're telling to wake up.
Absolutely.
It's hilarious.
I've seen that in almost every topic I've ever covered on my show, David, especially when it comes to 9/11. You know, everybody thinks that they own the complete answer, and they're not even open to listening to what somebody else might have, a new piece of the puzzle. And since
right.
you're so into symbology, I just got a book. I'm not sure you've even heard of it, because it seems to be fairly new. It's called The Most Dangerous Book in the World, and it's written by a man named S.K. Bain. And he takes apart the symbology, astrology, numerology of 9/11. And I think you would enjoy it, because he makes a lot of the same connections you do to all the symbols and the way our cities are laid out. And then he takes it into what he calls predictive fiction of when he thinks when and where the next attack would happen based on that. Now, there's a lot of people that would have taken this guy's book and said, forget it, this is too bizarre. But for me, I have an open mind. I want to see what everybody has to say. You know, I'm reading it, and it, you know, makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, because... The universe, the fabric of our reality, has a vibrational waveform level, an information level. It has as that basic waveform information level, what I call the metaphysical universe,
mm-hmm.
Is the information field or fields from which everything else is decoded. So we decode it through into the holographic, and in doing that, and the electrical, and we also decode it through into the digital. So there are all these different levels exist, and they're all expressions of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So numerology is the reading and measurement of the digital level. Things like astrology can be the measurement of the waveform level or the electrical level.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all expressions of each other. It's why the ancients, initiates, used to want to get the mathematics right in their buildings, because they knew that those mathematics actually represented digitally, or they wouldn't have talked about digital, but they knew the basic the theme. The getting the numbers right in buildings, this is, you know, golden mean, pi, and all this stuff of Fibonacci, is to get the vibrational field that you want, because those numbers are the digital version of that vibrational field. And so you can read things in all these different ways. Absolutely, you can. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, if people want bizarre, well, you know, how about this? You know, I talked in at Wembley at length about this archontic reptilian manipulation of our reality, and the fact that they had no creative imagination. And they can, if you give them a blank sheet of paper, they can't create. But you give them a blank sheet of paper with something on it, and they can manipulate it, twist it, and all the rest of it. But the creative force is in humans, and this is what they envy desperately. So this is how about, you know, taking it here. They cannot bring in this transformation of the world that they want to bring in. They can't bring it in themselves, because they can't create. They can only twist and manipulate what already exists. The creative imagination is within humans. So the prison fascist global state of the Hunger Games and all these Equilibrium and all these movies that are called predictive programming, they are designed to literally program subconsciously our sense of reality, so that we, through our creative imagination, create our own prison. I may sound kind of crazy, but we have to think that prison into existence, because they can't create it without our creative imagination. Thus, all this predictive programming, as they call it, with all these movies, how many movies are out there now, more and more and more, that are just based on and portraying the very world they want us to live in?
Absolutely. There's so many TV shows like that,
too. What it's about. And that's why I say, you know, I said in, you know, my last book, Remember Who You Are, we must not fall for the idea, consciously or subconsciously, that this world that they want to bring in and are in the process of doing so is going to actually come to fruition. We have to stop that. We have to start seeing it in another way. We have to start knowing that it's going to turn around, but knowing that it's coming down, because then our collective creative imagination will create that reality instead of the reality we're currently being mass program.
Absolutely. People have to be very
take on and thus, thus create.
Right. People have to be very careful of their thoughts and their words. I find myself correcting people more often now than I ever did in my life. When they say something, I immediately say, "Do you realize how many negatives you just threw out there?" And people are not aware of it. So if you're thinking the worst, you're going to create the worst. So if we all look what you did with, you know, 6,000 people live and who knows how many thousands of people watching, you know, all we need is a very small percent of people focusing on a different world.
Exactly.
And we could shut down the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's really where I want to go. I really want to, you know, encourage people to just go out to, you know, not, well, if they're near, if nearer what they know is a big vortex point, even better, do it there, because, I mean, there's loads all over England. That's why we've got all these stone circles and more stone circles and standing stones and ancient earthworks per square mile than anywhere else on the planet.
Right. People can just build a medicine wheel. You know, I've been teaching the medicine wheel forever. Everybody can
and
have
dance.
Their own.
And dance and open your heart and put that out into the energy field. Gather people together and just laugh and dance and joy.
Right, people have forgotten.
The impact's unbelievable on the energy field and other people that then come into contact with it.
Absolutely. You know, people have forgotten or been programmed to forget that we came to this planet to have a good time. We didn't come here for pain and suffering like some religions teach. You know, your soul chooses to come down here like it's an amusement park and just have some fun and leave.
Yeah, and you know, I've studied Satanism for a long, long time because I want to know, you know, what the game is and how they do it and how they work and why they do it. And again and again, it comes back all over the world that they go to these vortex points and they do their satanic rituals over and over again at particular points in the astrological year, so that the certain, you know, energies available which make it the impact even greater, and they are seeking to put that energy into those vortex points. And it's extremely low vibrational energy to pull the vibration of the energy field, the collective energy field, down.
Absolutely.
So if they're doing that, it's not for a bit of fun and a laugh. It's because of the effect it has. So what we need to do is to get the joy back, get the dancing back, get the love, loving each other back, get the opening the heart back, because then we will reverse that. And, you know, as organizations like the Institute of Heart Math in America have found out with their experimentation with heart energy and the electromagnetic field projected by the heart, that thoughts and expressions, heart expressions of love, appreciation, caring, compassion, are thousands and thousands of times more powerful than hate and all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
This is why society is structured to pull us into those states.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't, you know, want to see the word hate. It vibrates so horrifically.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting pulled, not only getting pulled into their game, we're actually contributing to what they want when we get into those states.
Exactly, and it doesn't pay to go there. David, thanks so much for joining me today.
Pleasure, Maria.
I also wanted to mention before you're gone, your DVD of Wembley is now available.
Well, it will be. What we've done, it's on the website and the whole event, and it can be seen as many times as you like until November 26th, and then we'll produce a DVD. And,
oh, okay. All right.
You know.
So if anybody missed it, you can get over to David's site, David.
Oh, yeah, it's all there, the whole thing. And, right. You know, it's just there for anyone to see as many times as they want.
And totally excellent. David, thank you so much, and I'll talk with you next month.
Cheers, Maria.
Cheers to you, Bye. Too. Bye. Okay, and one final word. If you're going to use any of those public sacred spaces, you don't know who used it before you. Could have been Anton LaVey, for all you know. I always recommend you cleanse that space before you use it, because you don't want to be in somebody else's energy, and you don't know who bastardized the space before you. And, of course, you know, you can just go on the cheap and just build yourself a medicine wheel. It doesn't even have to be a permanent one. Use that when you want to meditate or put your good energies out there. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show tomorrow. I will be back with the news, and I'm sure you guys will be here with me. And we have some more excellent shows coming up. So, again, thanks for supporting the show. And I guess I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.